Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Thomas Cook Q1 FY24 earnings conference call, hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vidit Shah from IIFL Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Shah.
Thank you, Leo. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on the 1Q FY24 earnings conference call of Thomas Cook India Limited. I invite the company's senior management team to discuss the results and business strategy. We will begin the call with opening remarks from Mr. Madhavan Menon, and thereafter, we will open the call for a Q&A session. I'd like to now hand over the call to Mr. Menon to take the proceedings forward. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Vidit. Thank you, Leo. Before I start, ladies and gentlemen, very good afternoon to you. Let me also introduce the other participants. You've got Mahesh Iyer, the Managing Director of Thomas Cook India Limited. You've got Vishal Suri, Managing Director of SOTC Limited. You've got Vikram Lalwani, Managing Director of Sterling Holiday Resorts. You've got Debashish Nandi, who is the Group CFO. You've got Brijesh Modi, who is the CFO of Thomas Cook India Limited. Have I missed anybody, Mahesh? Mr. Ramakrishnan, who is the MD of DEI. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, this has been another good quarter for us, and if instead of looking at it purely from a sequential point of view, let me say that there are several reasons why this quarter has looked very good. The first being that historically, this quarter is a quarter where all the travel businesses, especially the leisure businesses, both across Thomas Cook India, SOTC, and Sterling, have very good volumes because they execute the holiday season. The second important point is that, coming out of COVID, as we mentioned over the last couple of calls, we have restructured ourselves by managing our costs, and as you will see, that our costs are significantly down from what we were pre-COVID. And we believe that we've reached a level where it could be sustainable over a period of time. If you look at the margins, if you look at the cost-to-revenue ratio, if you look at the other costs in the business, you will note that these are that the margins are much higher, and they have been for nearly a year now. If you look at the costs, they're down. If you look at productivity numbers, they have improved. So in reality, I think we are sitting at a point where the productivity of the businesses has improved significantly. Again, Thomas Cook, SOTC, and Sterling have led the profitability drive in this quarter. And we expect that going forward, something that both Mahesh, Vishal, and Vikram will explain, our bookings look good. Let me just, before I hand over, just make a couple of comments of the other businesses. The foreign exchange business had an exceptional quarter, and Mahesh will talk about this, where we've seen some record numbers. If you look at the MICE business across both Thomas Cook and SOTC, they've had a very, very good quarter. They've exceeded their budgets. They've exceeded the previous year. If you look at the leisure business, despite recoveries from pre-COVID still being low, they've actually managed to book increase their profitability significantly. Look at Sterling Holiday Resorts. They've had, as I mentioned earlier, a record quarter. They have record profits also. As far as DEI is concerned, we've seen from the news that China, the domestic markets in China are firing on all cylinders, and Southeast Asia has reopened. It is a relatively low season in the Middle East, where a lot of our businesses are concentrated. However, having said that, I think the group as a whole has done fairly well. A couple of businesses, especially the one that is TCI and Asian Trails, have been a little slow in recovering because they conduct long-haul business where most of their customers come in from Europe and the United States, and these have been slow to take off. Having said that, I expect the next couple of quarters to continue the trend that we are witnessing. I will hand over to Debashish now, who will explain the numbers, and hand it over to Mahesh, Vishal, and the others. Thank you.
Thank you, Madhavan. So I spent a few minutes of our time working on more on the balance sheet side, because the P&L side, while Madhavan talked about it, and hear more about it from Mahesh, Vishal, and Rao, would like to spend some time on the consolidated balance sheet because that reflects the strength of the company. So on the debt side, between March and June, we managed to reduce our debt by 78 crores. Our current debt balance is about 313 crores, out of which 143 crores is long-term debt and about 170 crores of short-term. This represents a 20% reduction of debt in a matter of 3 months. For reference, against the 313 crores of debt that we have now, the debt position as of March 20, when the pandemic began, was 508 crores. So we have gone down by 200 crores from our debt position that was there at the beginning of the pandemic. During the same time, in the last 3 months, our equity position has improved by 81 crores. This is coming purely from profits. This is accretion through profit after tax. So our equity position is now 1,794 crores, which represents a 5% increase over what it was in March of this year. Coming on to current assets and liabilities, on the current assets side, our current assets grew by 19% during the quarter. It increased by 465 crores from 2,395 crores to 2,860 crores. And largely because of two factors, one is increasing receivables by about 118 crores, which represents a 21% increase, which actually reflects the growing volumes that the business is seeing, particularly on the B2B side. The balance, our 382 crores increase came from increases in cash and investments which are, you know, liquid investments which are in mutual funds, etc. So this represents a 47% increase in the cash balances. It is interesting to note that the increase in cash as percentage of the total increase in current assets is 82%. So out of the 465 crores, 382 crores is the increase in cash balance. On the current liability side, and this excludes the loan specifically, so it's just primarily the trade payables, its overall increase is about 458 crores from 2,746 crores to 3,204 crores, a 17% increase, largely guided by trade payables of 425 crores, which essentially reflects, again, just like the receivables and the cash balance, it reflects the increase in the volume of business. I will pause here and pass this on to Mahesh so that he can take you through the more on the business details, particularly on the foreign exchange and the travel-related items.
Thank you, Debashish, and thank you, Madhavan. As Madhavan just guided, I think it's just an important thing to mention that it's traditionally a strong travel quarter that we are in, and across all metrics that we monitor internally and that the market looks at, we have performed very, very well. Noteworthy to mention here, income from operations grew by about 95% from about 989 crores to 1,922 crores year on year. And on a quarter on quarter, which is sequentially, it grew 68% from 1,324 crores to 1,898 crores. As a result, operating EBITDA improved 2.6 times from 55 crores to 147 crores. These are some real record numbers that we are talking about here. And as a group, as Madhavan rightly mentioned, Thomas Cook, SOTC and Sterling had a very good quarter as recovery in volumes coupled with margins and cost prudence played to the bottom line that we reported in the current quarter. It's also important to mention what are the key drivers as far as the businesses are concerned. And I will begin with talking about foreign exchange. On the foreign exchange side, we had a very good quarter in the current one, were income from operations or revenue actually grew 91% from 47 crores to 91 crores. This increase in revenue led to an improvement in profitability, that's EBIT, from 11 crores to 42 crores. The noteworthy things that led to this kind of a phenomenal growth is the growth in retail business, where the recovery was close to 110% to the pre-pandemic level. If I look at the corporate business, a lot of the corporate volumes that were subdued in Q4 of FY23 came back in Q1 of FY24, and we have close to about 90% recovery as far as the corporate FX is concerned. Also, the retail business was aided by the recovery in the travel volumes as outbound travel started off. That part of the business also fired very well for us. On the education segment, our volumes grew by about 22%, despite the fact that this is traditionally not the seasonal quarter for education, actually comes in the current quarter that we are in. But despite that, we had a 22% growth in volumes year on year. Noteworthy thing is the prepaid card volumes. They grew 55% year on year. And as we speak, we have a float which was about 880 crores of March, currently stands at about 1200 crores. During the quarter, we also launched the Study Buddy program, which is focused on the students. This is a program that on the prepaid card portfolio that we offer. There are offers for students on this, and we believe we've kind of set ourselves for a larger market share on this business. As you would know, the education business is about $3.5 billion, and we currently do about $150, $160 million out of that portfolio. Our expectation is to double that over the next 3 years, and this product that we have launched along with a set of offerings that associate along with this will actually put us into a close to about a 15% market share as far as the education segment is concerned. During the quarter, we also collaborated with one of the largest banks in the country to manage the Hajj movement, where there was a large traffic where we supplied currency notes across 300 plus locations of the bank, and that was a one-off activity that we did, which also aided the performance in the current quarter. Also to mention here that we also acquired a large number of marquee clients during the quarter, both in the retail, telecom, consulting, infrastructure and manufacturing. I think all of this will add somewhere close to about $15 to $18 million of annualized volumes to the corporate foreign exchange business. It's important to mention here that when I look at the recovery to 2019, we are in this quarter saw a 106% recovery in terms of volume to 2019, and on a year-on-year basis growth, we are at about 60%. If I look at the digital adoption on this business, we continue to be at about 21%, which is the Forex contact center as well as the digital tool that we enable our customers to book through. Overall adoption is at 21%, and this 21% continues to be there despite an increase in the volume. So clearly, if you look at the overall business per se, we've had a very strong growth, and getting into the current quarter and beyond, we believe the tailwinds that are supporting the business will continue to ride for us. Moving over to the travel segment, quickly to comment on the overall recovery as far as the travel is concerned, we are about 78% overall recovery, and as you will recollect, when we guided the market previously, our expectation for the full year is anywhere between 75 to 85% recovery is what we expected. At this point in time, the recovery stands at 78% for the overall portfolio. And if I look at the growth from a year ago, the growth is at 76%. So the point that Madhav initially made, we have seen some smart volumes coming back to us. The drive to travel is back. Both the domestic international recovery has been strong, and I think you will hear from my colleague Vikram when he speaks about the domestic traffic there too. But clearly, we've seen some smart recovery happening on the domestic and international side. As a result of this recovery, income from operations on the overall travel segment improved from 675 crores to 1,468 crores, representing 118% growth. And consequently, the EBIT from a loss of 17 crores moved to a profit of 50 crores. This was the broad highlights as far as the travel business is concerned. Moving on to some of the segments within the travel, I'll talk about corporate travel, which is nothing but the B2B where we operate as travel management consultants for some of the large corporate houses in the country. We have a 109% recovery to the pre-pandemic level, and from a quarter-on-quarter growth perspective, it's at 25%. I'd like to call out here that from a unit perspective, that's volume perspective, we still see our ticket growth at about 12% to pre-pandemic level, and from a volume point of view, we are already tracking close to about 25%, aided by the higher ticket prices that prevailed till June of 2023. There has been some softening of ticket rates in the month of July, and hopefully in August we will see some amount of softening, but this is something that we will continue to monitor over a long period in time. It's also important to mention here that we also acquired a large number of marquee customers in the automobile sector, in apparel and manufacturing, banking and finance, and our adoption rate on the corporate booking tool moved up from roughly around 35% in the previous quarter to about 48%. It's important to mention about this adoption of corporate booking tool, because this is where we bring in the productivity benefits that Marvin referred to. Increasingly, more and more customers using self-serve model reduces the number of hands that are required to process, brings in efficiency in terms of collection, and that's a very important driver for the cash flow to the points that Debashish mentioned on the balance sheet. Moving on to the domestic holiday side of it and the international holiday, domestic holiday recovery has been better but got subdued post-May. As you would remember that it was on 3rd of May 2023 when Go Airways announced the withdrawal of its flight. That dented the demand on the domestic side, because Go connected to some of the ports that used to be in the top 5 destinations that we sold on the domestic side. So there was a lot of cancellations that we saw. Roughly about 35% cancellations came in because customers didn't want to travel by paying a higher price. And you will appreciate that when one airline goes down, the overall price in the industry goes up. So clearly the cost of operations for them was going up and customers chose to cancel some of those holidays. That impact was there. But despite that, the recovery on the domestic side was at 72% to the pre-pandemic level, and we remained almost flat in terms of our growth compared to the similar quarter of the previous year. It's important to mention here that we did a lot of initiatives in terms of the short breaks that people take, which involved domestic minications, staycations. We managed large travel groups to Europe. Between SOTC and Thomas Cook, we had roughly about 18,000 customers who traveled with us to Europe, and our expectation is for the end of the year we'll be close to about 25,000 customers. The Cherry Blossom that we launched was a huge success. We had close to about 2,000 customers who booked with us on the Cherry Blossom tour. There are new destinations that we launched during this period, which included Azerbaijan, Georgia and Kazakhstan, other than the domestic circuit, which included Orissa, Uttar Pradesh and Gujarat. We also had, as you would know, the visa challenges continued to plague the long distance travel, the long haul as we call it, more importantly the Schengen visa, and the rejection rates were close to about 7 to 8% in our business too. But despite that, our international holiday volume recovered about 50% to the pre-pandemic level. But as Madhavan rightly said, despite this 50% recovery, our overall profitability on the business grew almost equal to what we used to do pre-pandemic. So as the tailwinds on the holiday comes and supports us, this will add to our bottom line, and we expect this trend. If I look at the forward bookings in the coming quarters, the holiday business is already trending at about 110% to the internal budgets that we have set for ourselves. That represents roughly about 80% to the pre-pandemic level. If I look at the MICE business, I think we've already surpassed our internal estimates for the business, but we expect the full year to close at about 20 to 25% higher than what we did for the pre-pandemic level. Coming back to speak about some of the major events on MICE, G20, that's one of the events that we spoke about in the past. We acquired, or we are one of the three vendors that services the government on this. We've completed close to about 37 events for G20, and there are about 4 or 5 more events that will happen till about September 2023, and we will record some high volumes on the government business. Apart from that, Khelo India, an important sports event that the government is promoting, we are one of the principal partners there, and we've already done about 4 units of Khelo India, and there's one more on the anvil which we'll do in the last quarter of the current calendar year. Some large movements of customers have happened, close to about 6,500 people on Khelo India. We had an inbound delegate group of about 325 delegates coming in. We also had large groups, close to about 14,000 passengers between SOTC and Thomas Cook, who traveled across the globe with us. Overall, if I look at the trend, the forward positions look very, very strong, and we remain very optimistic of the travel business in the coming quarters. Over to you, Vikram, for an update on Sterling. Thank you.
Thanks, Mahesh. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Vikram Lalwani, and I represent Sterling Holiday Resorts as its Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer. I'm joined by Mr. L. Krishna Kumar, the Chief Financial Officer, as Sterling Holiday Resorts Limited. It's a privilege to interact with all of you once again today. Q1, as we are all aware, is traditionally a strong quarter for leisure business. Post-COVID years, Sterling had recorded a phenomenal turnaround last year Q1 with a turnover of approximately 103 crores INR on income and a 28 crores PBT with an operating free cash flow of 33 crores. This year, Q1 of FY24, we are delighted to announce that Sterling has recorded its highest PBT of any quarter ahead of Q1 FY23 by 27% to close with 35.8 crores. It was supported by a healthy growth in total income by 13% to close at 116 crores approximately. Our operating free cash flow has been the highest in any quarter of the past, and we closed with 41 crores as an operating free cash flow, which is a growth of 24% over Q1 of FY23. Our EBITDA margins are healthy at 36%, grown also over last year by 16%. This is the 10th consecutive profitable quarter for Sterling. This reaffirms our approach towards becoming a leading leisure hospitality player in the country. The above growth was fueled primarily by the resort business. Our resorts resort revenues grew by over 15% over Q1 of FY23 to close at 100 crores for the first time ever this quarter. This was driven by sustained occupancy of 79%, a growth of 8% on average room rates to close at a high of 7454 INR in average room rates, and an increase in guest ratios from 55% in Q1 FY23 to 62% in Q1 FY24. Other critical lines of businesses like food and beverage grew healthy at 13% to close at approximately 25 crores for this quarter. We continued our thrust on increasing efficiencies in the membership business, with variable on-site sales going up to 68% from 44% of last year, and down payments at 73% in quarter one of FY24 when compared to 47% only of in Q1 FY23. Given the thrust on growing Sterling as a hospitality brand with its resort business, Sterling shall continue to focus only on short-term membership products and has progressively tapered down sales of long-term membership products. In Q1 FY24, the mix of products sold reflects this change. Despite this, we have recorded the highest ever operating free cash flow as stated above on account of growth in the resort business. Our strategic approach on expansions has been primarily on the asset-light model. In Q1 FY24, we had a full quarter impact of the 6 new resorts that we opened in FY23. And additionally, we also launched 2 more resorts during this quarter, taking our overall strength to 42 resorts across 40 destinations and over 2,500 rooms. Our confirmed pipeline of new destination and new resorts being added in the remaining part of FY24 is very healthy, and we could be adding approximately 6 to 8 resorts amounting to 400 rooms this year itself. Sterling's focused commitment to customer delight has also resulted in 22 of our resorts being awarded the TripAdvisor's Traveler's Choice Awards, which is top, that's recognized as top 10% of the accommodations globally, and Sterling Khana being awarded the TripAdvisor's Traveler's Best of the Best Award, that is top 1% of the accommodations globally. As a responsible hospitality brand, Sterling has also partnered with the government since 2019 on skill development programs to develop young talent for employability in the hospitality sector. We have centers in our resorts in Munnar, Mussoorie, Puri, Ooty and Kodai. We are happy to also inform you that we have been conferred with a special recognition by THSC, that is Tourism and Hospitality Skill Council of the government, towards our efforts in developing this talent pool last year. Sterling is taking steps towards strengthening its operations and building blocks for scalability through technology. Sterling continues to leverage from our proprietary distribution platform, Sterling One, that connects seamlessly real-time with our trade, corporate, and association partners for business. The business materialized this year through Sterling One for this quarter, Sterling One, is approximately 23 crores, which is about 4x times of what it had happened in Q1 of FY23. Backend financial reporting has been strengthened with cloud-based single-view platforms being introduced as on April of this financial year. This is scalable as and when we keep adding more and more resorts to our portfolio as well. Our front-end property management systems of resorts are undergoing a change that focuses more on the hospitality metrics, transactions with a centralized cloud-based view. We have also introduced Net Promoter Score online platform to help us drive customer delight across all our resorts. Sterling continues to remain upbeat given the strong fundamentals in the domestic tourism business and the growing strength of brand Sterling, and we are confident of a continued, sustained, strong performance even in the coming quarters of this financial year. Thank you so much.
Ram, if you can go in next, please.
Yeah, hi. Hi, this is Ramakrishnan, if you all can all hear me clearly. Yeah, so we had a DEI had a fairly good quarter. It's a tough quarter for us in the Middle East, but our Far East business has grown pretty rapidly. Like Madhavan mentioned, China has literally doubled our budgeted numbers and actually been probably five times over our last year's numbers in China. We have both the resorts, Universal and Disney, doing full Monty and giving top performance numbers that has never been seen by that market ever in the past. Pre-pandemic, our past operators who are operating these resorts have done probably half of what we are doing. So we see a very bright future in China for us going forward. The rest of the world, in the Middle East, we've had a fairly good year, fairly good quarter. Of course, we had Ramadan and summer, which probably it's one of our lowest quarters normally in the year. That had been affected, as we had a resounding numbers for the whole global business of ours in the quarter. Looking forward, I think, yes, another thing was balloon. We started the balloon this quarter, and it was obviously we had some teething issues, some uptime issues. All of that has got sorted as of last month. We started by clocking a 35% uptime. In 3 months, we've gone to already 90% uptime, which shows us a brighter future for the coming quarters. Revenues will start trickling in. This quarter, we were affected a bit by the balloon's revenue and the profits being the first quarter and the first start. But all in all, 3 months is fairly a reasonable time for catch-up, and I think we've done a good job on that. The good news is, as of July month, we are doing a 94% uptime, so the numbers look very good, and the coming quarter will be much more exciting overall. From a overall perspective, we also are invested and have just been getting ready to launch our new platform, Hummingbird, which is a complete new digital platform that will deliver photos and images to people through cloud. It will be a real-time online display of images and memories that one can get as soon as the image is clicked. Also, it is getting some interesting features like facial recognition, etc. This is all going to go live by the last quarter of this year. So that would definitely change both our profit margins and our operating efficiencies multifold. Overall, the future for DEI looks very strong. I mean, the next two quarters definitely are our key quarters, the last quarter being the largest one. When I say the last quarter, I'm talking about the October to December. That is one of the most important ones for DEI. We literally do more than 60% of our profits in that quarter. So we are very excited about the year by itself. It'll be way better. 2022, we posted a good year, probably one of the best years post-COVID. 23, I think we're poised to break that numbers as we go along. Other than that, on the brighter side, as I said about Hummingbird, the other idea of Hummingbird of putting this new platform is also into going into non-operating models, where we'll be doing a SaaS model of our solution. This is the first time we'll be entering into that zone. So 24 looks extremely exciting for us with the balloon going on full-time and the SaaS model for our non-operating model coming up. So we see fairly overall a very good future for DEI. The post being acquired by Thomas Cook, I think we've not had any better year than last year. And going forward, this year looks even better than that. The next 3 years are very exciting for us, so we are all excited about all that. Thank you very much from my side.
Thank you, Ram. Devashish, once again. So before we start the question answer, just spend a couple of minutes on the international travel business, what you call the destination managed businesses. So I will go region by region instead of giving an overall outlook, and that will help us understand each region better. So I'll start off with Asian Trails, which is the Asia, which covers the Asia Pacific regions, primarily Southeast Asia as well as Australia. So this region was one of the last to get out of the COVID-related restrictions, and it started recovering. If I compare the current year sales as compared to the same quarter last year, we have seen an increase in sales from $4.4 million to $14.9 million, which is an increase of 2.4 times. Moving on to Middle East. Middle East, as Madhavan has said and Ram also mentioned, it is a summer in Dubai, in the UAE, and therefore the movement of traffic is restricted. Overall, it increased its sales by about 1%. The unit that we have is Desert Adventures, went up from $20.8 million to about $20.9 million. Obviously, with the, you know, as summer goes away and, you know, the gradual winter sets in, this is going to do well from about October onward, the next two quarters. East Africa continued to do well, increased its sales by about 63% from about $1.5 million last year to about $2.3 million. South Africa recovered from COVID and moved up its sales by 137% from about $1.2 million to $2.9 million. And to end with Horizon Travel, USA, although this is just onset of the season, it moved up its sales by about 29% from about $9.7 million to $12.5 million. In terms of, just to give you a little more brief on this, as I said, in Asia, in Asian Trails, the recovery has started, and certain countries like Thailand, Indonesia, Malaysia and Vietnam are recovering very well. Some of them are actually ahead of what it did in the pre-COVID times. We have seen slower recovery in other countries, notably Australia and China. China for obvious reasons. Australia, because of the in the high airfares that are prevalent, and that has reduced the traffic in that country. Of course, the political situation in places like Myanmar, etc., restricted tourist traffic. In case of East Africa, the traffic is largely coming in from its traditional markets, which is USA, UK, Germany. But we have also traffic coming in from places, newer places, like for example Romania and Hungary, and also a large number of Indians that are going in, and probably this will grow with the onset of new flight connections, etc. In Desert Adventures, in the summer months, we saw tourists coming in from the CIS countries as well as also India. US is traditionally fed by European tourists. At an overall level, the DMS business saw a growth of 43% in turnover from over $37.5 million last year to about $53.5 million this year. That sort of updates our current discussion, and we will open this up for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Akshat from Flute Aura. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I have a couple of them. So my first question is on the cash plan. So we are sitting at around 1,400 crores of cash. So what are we planning to do about it. The next question is on the tax collected at source side. So if I'm not wrong, it has increased by from 5% to 20%. So how will it impact our business? And my third question is on the cost of services. Like, it has increased substantially. So any guidance on that?
Thank you for those questions, Devashish, and I'll try to answer your questions one by one. Your first question is, what do we do with the cash? So the cash that we have obviously reflects operating cash as well as, you know, any cash surplus that maybe that any of the companies, including Thomas Cook standalone, may have. A part of the cash obviously pertains to the float that we have on a prepaid forest card, which Mahesh had talked about. In terms of any surplus, and what do you do with the surplus or what do you do with the cash in future? So obviously our first priority is to pay off our loans. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, we have been repaying our loans. We brought down our loans by 78 crores during the quarter, but it's still at a level of about 300 crores. The priority is to, you know, bring down the debt to as close to zero as possible. Therefore reduce our finance charges to, as you know, obviously to a near zero level, which will obviously improve the profitability. It will take a couple of years to do that. The business has just started earning cash in terms of free cash flow, etc. So it'll take us a couple of years. And once the cash start accumulating, we'll see how to go about it. If your question indirectly pertains to whether we are looking for acquisitions, etc., I think we are not looking for acquisition at this point of time. Till such time our cash positions get much better, we will then see what to do with the cash. That's, I think, question number one. The second question pertains to TCS. So a bit of a update out here. You might have missed it, but while the government initially increased the rate from 5% to 20%, there have been several corrections on that later, thanks to the industry. Industry coming in together and representing to the government. At the end of it, to sum up, I'll get into a couple of details, but to sum up, there has been little or no changes as far as we are concerned. On the foreign exchange side, the rate continues to be 5% for any remittance that goes beyond 7 lakhs. So up to 7 lakhs, this is, and for certain purpose, etc. I'll not get into that much of detailing, but it remains at 5%. Let's keep it at summary level, and I can send you a one pager to just explain what are the changes. In case of travel, which was a big concern for the industry, where the existing rate of 5% was changed to 20. So the government has given us a good leeway, so to say. So any travel up to 7 lakhs per passenger per year will be charged at 5%. If somebody exceeds the 7 lakh cap in a particular year, the rate for the incremental amount will go to 20%. Now, we can safely say that about probably 97-98% of our travel business or the customers that travel with us, we keep their travel expenses at less than 7 lakhs per person per year. So the business is largely unaffected. I mean, largely in the sense, virtually unaffected. It's 97-98% is, within that gap. So we do not see this. We do not see the increasing TCS as any threat. For us, life remains where it was. The third question was about the cost of services, which is, basically the cost of sales for us. And the cost of sales reflects the increasing volume of business. So as sales go up, our cost of sales will also go up. I hope you are referring to that. So if I look at overall consolidated numbers and I compare to what it was in April-June 22, our total revenue has gone up to 1,922 crores as compared to 990 crores. Corresponding, the cost of sales has gone up by from 664 crores to about 1,400 crores. So this purely reflects an increase in the due to the volume of business. So it's largely variable. We are not really, what matters really is the margin. At the end of the day, if you look at our EBITDA margin, it has gone up from 5.6% to about 7.7% in the same period. I think that is the metric that you are more interested in. Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir. That was helpful. And just a little, just if I can squeeze a small one right here. So, do you have any BTAs for FY24, and can you give tax guidance for FY24?
Yes, we have BTA because you know we lost money during the COVID period. For the years 21-22, as you know, and 2021 and 21-22, we lost money, and therefore we created a deferred tax asset on that. I'm happy to state that the deferred tax assets will, you know, we are using it right now, and the deferred tax asset that we have had will get certainly get wiped out by next year, by FY24-25, will certainly get wiped out.
Okay, sir. So, any tax guidance for the year?
What exactly do you mean by tax guidance? Is how much tax will land up paying?
Yeah. Consolidated FY24.
Okay, so it will depend. See, we are a conglomerate, right? There are multiple countries, not only India. Although India constitutes the larger part of the business, but there are obviously the overseas tax rates and tax structures, etc., change. At an India level, we'll be paying little or no taxes because we'll be taking advantage of the DTAs that we have created or the accumulated tax losses. Overseas, some countries have taxes and some don't, and profit situation is different. So overseas is a bit more difficult to give a guidance.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking my question and all the best.
Thank you.
Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. A reminder to participants that you may press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Mithun Aswath from Kiva Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question pertains to the travel-related business. You know, despite the improvement in the top line, EBIT continues to be subdued on that part. You know, obviously Forex has delivered very good numbers. But just wanted to understand, is it because of the mix? And what sort of EBIT can the travel-related business do once you scale back to pre-COVID top line in the travel-related business?
Mithun, this is Mahesh here. Let me take that question on. And you rightly pointed to that one. It's because of the mix. Because the travel segment that you see here getting reported has got outbound holidays, domestic holidays, B2B holidays, which is MICE, corporate travel, which is the corporate management part of it that we do, and we also have inbound India and DMS businesses. So all of this sits in here, and if you heard the commentary from Debashish, we clearly mentioned that the inbound into India and the DMSs are not in the peak of the season. These are shoulder months for them. So essentially, we aren't seeing any profitability addition from them, whereas the revenues are getting calculated on the top line, but their profit numbers are not there. So clearly, when the tide turns and the quarter, which is essentially quarter 3 and quarter 4 or FY24, when they start showing those numbers, those margins will start looking better. But even on a comparative basis, if you compare to April-June 22 and compare to April-June 2023, our EBIT margins have improved from a negative 3% to a positive 3%. So the swing is about 6% in that sense. If you ask me for a guidance, we expect that to be close to about 7 to 8%. That's our indication at this point in time.
On the travel-related business itself, a bit around 7 to 8%?
Yes, I'm talking about travel and related services, which is a mix of multiple businesses that I just mentioned.
So you could look at a bit of 7 to 8% from that business.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to understand, when do you think you will get back to pre-COVID, I'm talking about like FY19 sort of numbers on the travel-related business? Do you think that month-on-month things are improving now, or it would still take some time to get to those levels?
So, Mithun, two ways to look at it. If you look at it from profitability point of view, we are already talking pre-COVID. So, I don't see that as a challenge. If you ask me from a volume perspective, I think most part of our business, close to about 70% of our business in India, are already tracking pre-COVID. it's the international holiday side of it which is slow to recover, and there are challenges which are outside our control. But as we guided, and I mentioned this in my opening statement also, our full year guidance is about 75% to 80% recovery in the current fiscal to pre-pandemic. We may actually end up being slightly higher than that, but currently we still remain guided to that 75% to 80% recovery to the pre-pandemic in the current fiscal.
Great. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
So yeah, just one question on the Digiphoto side. We have seen margins improve sequentially, and can you show give some light on how can we expect this going forward?
Ram, you might like to answer that question.
Yeah. So yes, if I get you right, you said you've seen the revenue increasing consistently, and how do I see it going forward? Am I right?
No, the EBIT margins going forward.
Yeah, the EBIT margins will get better. Don't forget the last three quarters, we've been spending on our technology development. We're bringing in a new technology. The cost levels have gone high. Our markets have opened, China, etc. So generally in our business, when a market opens up, the cost of labor goes higher in the beginning and they get aligned. So obviously the EBIT margins going forward in the next two quarters will be way better than this one. Than the last quarter, if I've answered you on that front, purely because of some of the cost structures and also on the fact that the business is coming back to full volume. So our business, till we don't come to 80% of our numbers, we don't make profit. Then what we make on the 90, 100 and the 120, 10% increase of our business, where we make the larger margins. So that definitely is getting better and will increase. We have aimed and targeted to make nearly about 8 to 9% of EBITDA by the end of the year. And we are quite on track to do that.
Okay. And will we be able to sustain those margins?
Yeah, these are all long-term contracts. So sustainability is definitely, these contracts run for 3 to 5 years. And we've had an average renewal rate from the time we started of 97%. So it is sustainable in that front. In fact, it's going to get better with our technology part, because these margins will get better with the new technology coming in. Our new technology will be seen to full light by January 2024. We are implementing it in the last quarter. So we definitely see not only sustainability, but even betterment of these margins as we go ahead. So for DI, it looks pretty interesting as far as earnings goes in the coming years.
Okay, got it. Thank you for taking my question and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from the line of Sakshi Chhabra from Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. So I have two questions. One was on the Forex side. If we see, our margins have shot up considerably to 47%. So is that only because of the volume, and is this number sustainable going forward?
Okay. Again, I'll take that question, Mahesh here. I think we've been talking about it for some time. Our focus on this business has been on yield improvements, and I think we continue to see the benefits of that coming through. Also, if you look at our prepaid card portfolio that we've been talking about, this is a very sustainable business. On that, there are two streams of income that flow through. One is the revenue that we get through the back end, and the other is the revenue that we get through the front end. So clearly, as volumes grow on the prepaid card side and we move from currency to card, as you would appreciate that on the currency side, I only get one stream of revenue, which is the margin that I can charge the customer. When I sell a card, I have two streams of revenue that comes to play with. So the more the penetration of the card, the stream of revenue actually grows. That's point number one. Point number two, in the current quarter also, as I mentioned, we did a transaction for one of the largest private largest bank in the country, where we did a large movement of currency for them. That's a transaction that happened in the current quarter. It's more like a wholesale B2B transaction, but the margin that we made was equivalent to a retail business. So that also sits in the current thing. To your question, are these margins sustainable? On a sustainable basis, the business operates at about 1.4 to 1.5% margin, and we'll guide to that margin for the rest of the year too.
Okay. And so my second question was on the DEI side. On like the China business that you spoke about, that was phenomenal. So that would have, one of the reasons would have been because China just recently opened up. So my one question was on that, that is, that do you think that number is sustainable going forward, or do you think that was like how it was just a matter of fact that because people had not moved out and suddenly, you know, everything opened up, that is what led to a shoot up in that revenue? And second question on the DI side was, with so many new contracts that we have signed up, what sort of revenue growth traction do you see in the coming years?
Okay, I'll take the first one on China business. China business has come, is going to be sustainable. Yes, they've opened the internal China travel, so that's helped us a lot. It is, it's not a one-time burst that you're seeing. This has been consistent over the last 3 months, and we anticipate it to be continuous because it's in alignment with the projections that both these parks had done on their attraction. They have pre-pandemic whatever projections are, and they're sustaining the same numbers. Secondly, mind you, this business coming without international business into China. International travel into China is still not fully open. So that gives us more opportunity that these numbers is not only sustainable, will get better. So as far as China goes, we're very confident that these numbers are going to be sustainable and will get better. As far as the new contract, yes, GIA has been acquiring quite a few new contracts as we go along. And that is, from a revenue perspective, we have been posting about 20 to 30% year-on-year growth. And that is, again, going to be continuous and sustainable because we have a lineup. We're opening Saudi Arabia soon next year. That's going to be a huge, huge opening. All of you have known that Saudi is going to become the next destination spot in the Middle East. So that we are very, very hopeful that Saudi will become another Dubai, UAE for us in the next 3 to 5 years. So the growth is not only, we're not only confident of being sustainable, but also going to be consistent.
Okay. So just one more question I had on this Hummingbird. Can you just throw some more light as to what is going to be the revenue stream and how do you see that adding to our overall top line?
So Hummingbird is our name to our software and our solution that we currently have called as iMix. Hummingbird it's a game changer solution. Our current solution allows guests to take their pictures, get their pictures, transfer to them, and enjoy those moments digitally post the experience. With Hummingbird coming in, that's going to be more instant, which means when you're on a roller coaster and your picture is taken, by the time you're out of the roller coaster, your phone receives the picture instantly. It is based on FR, so all you do is touch a button, show your face in front of your phone, and all those pictures that were taken across the park comes over. That's not happening currently. Currently, there's a QR ticket given to you, you have to go and scan it. Sometimes it takes 5 minutes, 10 minutes, sometimes it takes about 2 hours to get the pictures downloaded. The new solution will do that instantly at the same moment. So we see a huge opportunity in growth of revenue itself, or at least an amount of people taking pictures. You don't need to pull your phone out of your pocket anymore to take. Our whole quest of making Hummingbird so easy and interesting is that eventually we look at an opportunity of us allowing a guest not to take his phone anymore out to take his pictures and take all the pictures through us, which is exactly what we're making it convenient to. That definitely will help us in growth. Currently, we capture about 4 to 5% of the total in revenue wise. We take only 4 to 5% of the people who come to a park actually take pictures, buy the pictures. With this, we see at least going to double digits. So we're very, very optimistic. Of course, it's going to be a process and a time. It'll take about 6 months to a year for full adoption and complete rollout. We are very optimistic of that.
Okay. And have you decided any price point that we will be charging for this? Will it be...
Our price points in the digital delivery will become more competitive than what we are currently giving. So that also is a benefit. Again, price is something that we play against volume. So we'll be very careful to make sure that we play that balance right. Of course, there's a huge capital expense on building Hummingbird, which is also built, which shows you in our EBITDA, and will show more as we go along. So price point will be interesting. It will become more affordable for sure, and more easier.
Okay. Can you quantify the capex that would have been spent on?
We are still in the process of spending, so we haven't, we'll probably get back to you later once we complete the project.
Sure. Oh, thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pavas Specha from Aditya Birla Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
So this travel and related services margins, EBIT margins, you talked about close to 7%. Is this a steady state margin? And if yes, when you plan to achieve it?
See, look, as I said, currently we are at about 3%, and this 3% does not reflect the full profitability of our DMS and the inbound business currently, because we are in a non-seasonal shoulder quarter. So once they start delivering those numbers, we expect this to be at 7%, and I think that should be more like a steady state for us. But again, it's the seasonal impact that comes, because this, the segment that we operate, travel, has got seasonality in it. COVID has changed some patterns of seasonality for sure, but that's more relevant for the India part of the business. Overseas still continue to be a little more seasonal, and Madhavan guided us in the initial comment. He mentioned about the long-haul travel coming in from the Europe. I think those will continue to have that impact, but on a steady-state basis, we expect it to be about 7%.
And what was this number pre-COVID days on an annualized basis? These margins?
I'll have to give a longer answer to that question, because if we talk about the pre-COVID days, it also includes the DMS business that was acquired in late 2017. And if you remember, we had acquired that business which as a loss-making business, and the attempt was to turn it around over a period of 3 years. That period got a little extended because of COVID, obviously, but now the business is turning around, parts of it have started making money. So if you compare what it was pre-COVID, it would be more or less the same, because that time the business was not making money for structural reasons. But those structural imbalances have now been evened out. The cost structure has been completely revamped. They needed certain developments on the technological side, which has low technical or technology inputs have been provided. So now the business is all set to sort of take wings. And therefore, we are more confident today, as Mahesh pointed out, to deliver the EBITDA margin of 7%.
Okay. And this steady state, if inbound travels kind of return to normalcy, can we see in FY25 itself?
We expect so. But as Mahesh pointed out, that we should be around 75 to 80% of, in terms of overall recovery, about 75 to 80% normal volumes in the current year itself. And then we know that we all see growth continuing in the travel business, and therefore we should be reaching 100% level in the following year, that is FY25.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Sharma, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. A question around seasonality. Your multiple businesses operate in multiple countries, and the seasons are quite different. Can you give us a sense on, say, the June quarter, the September quarter? How does the quarter-wise quarter seasonality function in each of the businesses? That's my one question. The second is around capital allocation. With the cash accumulation, you did mention there are no acquisitions around and you would reduce the debt. Is there a policy around dividend that you would like to bring forward and announce at any point in time? And three, the optionally convertible debentures that you may have, are they going to be bought back or by the shareholders? Thank you.
So, Sameer, this is Mahesh. I'll take the first part of the question, and the rest two parts I'll leave it to Divashish to explain that to you. For the first part, for your seasonality, as you know, travel businesses out of India, typically the strongest seasonal quarter is April-June, coincides with vacations and breaks for kids. The second best quarter that comes is October-December, coincides with some part of Diwali vacations and festivities that come in along, and the year-end breaks that come. So typically there are two such quarters that come for the travel businesses. April-June typically will represent close to about 55 to 60% of the overall volumes that we do in a year. October to December will do about 25%, and the rest will be spread between April to Jan to March and July to September. So that's the broad breakup as far as outbound businesses from India are concerned. That pattern, as I also mentioned, I would like to call it out here, that those trends are beginning to change. Now, holidays are becoming more like an year-round activity, but again, the longevity of the holiday changes. The short rates are more like the 2-3 nighters, which are more domestic or short hauls. It's the long hauls where the ticket size is larger, and that's where we, as a GIT operator, we get a lot of cream coming from the market there. If I look at the inbound businesses, the peak period starts in October and runs all the way till March. So the two quarters of October, December and Jan to March is the peak for inbound into India. If I look at the DMS companies, again, each of the geographies have got different seasonality that they have. Some coinciding with the India inbound, like the October-March, and some in the July-September quarter. So it's kind of spread between the five geographies that we operate there. So that's more about the seasonality. As we said, these patterns are beginning to change. At least that's visible in the India businesses, but as overseas businesses are concerned, we still haven't seen that changing too dramatically, but we'll have to wait and watch for that. Devashish,
yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mahesh. I'll try and answer your second question, which is around, you know, on dividend and what can we expect, etc. As I mentioned earlier, we would like to use our cash generations. We have started generating cash and would like to use the cash primarily for reducing our debt to as low levels or near zero levels. Because we would also like to reduce the interest cost in the process and therefore increase our profits, PBT. Dividend, of course, as the business makes profit, we'll continue to give dividends. We haven't kept a percentage in mind right now, but obviously we'll ensure a decent return to the shareholder in terms of overall earnings, in terms of EPS, as well as distribution of part of that through a dividend process. On your last question, which is on the optionally convertible debenture, honestly, we don't really have any instrument like that on our balance sheet. We did have a optionally convertible preference share, which was issued during 2021 to the parent, Fairfax or Fairbridge Mauritius, which was duly converted into installments, one in March and one in June of 22 into equity. So the entire thing has now been converted to equity, which gives Fairfax at overall level about 72% ownership. We do not have any debentures on our books.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That
was the last question in queue.
Yeah, maybe we can just hand it over to Madhavan for his closing comments and before we all sign off.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for having heard what we had said, and I trust that all the answers, the questions were answered. Just as a sign-off comment, I just wanted to make a slightly forward-looking comment. Looking at our forward bookings, looking at our cost structures, I can confidently say that with this trend will continue over the next several quarters. When I say this trend will continue, is this return to pre-COVID levels in terms of our turnover, sustainable margins and sustainable cost reductions. So, and of course, if we look at our forward bookings, both in the outbound business, both domestic as well as short haul and long haul for SOTC and Thomas Cook, as well as the forward bookings that are being received by Sita, which is our inward business in India, I expect that it will be reflected over the next couple of quarters. So I think we are still in that space where we can benefit from the restructuring that we went through. And in my opinion, this can continue for some time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.